Hey, this is Pastor John in Los Angeles, California. Thank you for coming to the website. So glad that you could join me for another webcast. Let's just listen to a few seconds of Keith Green singing during this holiday time about Jesus Christ. Listen to the words.
Like a foolish dreamer trying to build a highway to the sky, all my hopes would come tumbling down, and I never knew just why, until today, when you pulled away the clouds that hung like curtains on my eyes. But I've been blind all these wasted years, and I thought I was so wise, but then you took me by surprise. Like waking up from the longest dream I've really seen,
until your love broke through.
I've been lost in a fantasy that blinded me, until your love broke through.
Oh yeah. I'm so glad that I can bring in these webcasts. And just want to give a shout out to Ceci, who is working and going to school in Shanghai, China. Ceci listens, and she calls me here in the studio in Los Angeles. And we were having a great discussion and talking about how wicked people can get and how that influence can jump in the life of the Christian. And Ceci asked a very important question. She asked me, how does a Christian stay strong in the face of all of the compromise that's going on out there? How do we retain our strength in the Lord? How do we walk that way? As a matter of fact, I just finished up the last day of classroom studies in the college, and a couple of the college students kind of like hung out after the class, and they were asking me. It was amazing. One Hispanic guy and one white guy, and they were saying, we'd like to come out to your home Bible studies. Join your Bible study. And I said, email me. I'll give you the address. I've given you the grade of the class. You can come out. There's no conflict of interest. Why would they want to come out to Pastor John's house and study the Bible with him? Can't they go to one of these many hundreds and literally hundreds of churches that spread out all over Southern California and get some kind of spiritual endowment? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they pick up what PJ is all about in the classroom, outside of the classroom. It's all about Christ. I'm glad this semester's over. All I got to do is post the grades, and then I'm free. Let me give you this study here. Tell your love broke through. I love that. Keith Green. I have his greatest hits. I bought it years ago. It's an interesting collection of Christian music. Keith Green. Okay, 1977 to 1979, the ministry years. And I think one of the finest Christian singers that has ever lived. Well, the kinds of things that spiritual life produces. What I'd like you to do is to study along with us. And I'd like you to get your Bibles and turn to Mark. Let me grab mine. I just got to reach over here. Oh. All right, had to reach over here and get this Bible. Had to get Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. We're going to talk about how do you stay strong. And Ceci, if you're listening all the way over there in Shanghai, this is for you. I want you to know that you can be strong. Your other Christian girlfriends over there can be strong. We can be strong wherever we are. I think we have to concentrate about that, spend more time to do that. Let me read the verses 12 through 14. And it says, and on the next day they departed from Bethany. He, that is Jesus, became hungry. And he, seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if it perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came upon it, he found nothing but leaves. Now, don't forget that phrase there. That's very important. Nothing but leaves. For it was not the season for figs. Verse 14 says, and he answered, and he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening. Now, one of the first things that you may ask is, what was that all about in the first place? Well, Jesus had entered the beloved city of Jerusalem for the last time by way of what we call the triumphant entry. You have to read verses 1 through 10. And as you read those expressions, if you know anything about the crucifixion and all that happened there, that's when Jesus told his disciples when he approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, one in which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here." That's when he made his triumphant entry. That's the scene of his statement here with the fig tree. We also understand that the Lord's three-year ministry to his disciples were coming to a rapid end, and the implications of the lessons that he taught them over the years, he wanted to see if they understood what they were. And so, you know, that prompts me to ask you, do you understand the important lessons that you've been listening to for years when you've come to this website? Do you understand why I do what I do? Why I say what I do? But the master taught by precept and example, life lessons, which would carry the disciple on through the very difficult times that lie ahead. And in the very same sense, there are now difficult times that lie ahead with us. And we have to be able to confront those situations. So the setting was clear. These lessons and times were coming to an end. Now, the scene of our focus, as you look at this verse, at verse 11, the next day after that of the entry, Jesus and his disciples go southward a few miles towards Bethany. Thus, we find the Lord finalizing some spiritual principles which needed to be stated. Now, the disciples needed a clear illustration of what the three-year ministry would lead to. You can look at the severity as seen in the issue of the barren fig tree. In other words, you have to understand the context of their trip from Bethany. There was a journey. There was hunger. There was expectation. There was dismay. And in our Christian lives, it's going to be the same thing. Once we look at what Jesus teaches his disciples some 2,000 years ago, we are to take those same lessons and to make them applicable to our lives. What we try to do at times is we try to leave them back there and not go forward in that direction. So let's look at journey, first of all, in verse 12a. It says, "And on the next day, when they had departed from Bethany." Now, we're going to look at these vivid lessons during the 11th hour of Jesus' existence. Though he had marched into Jerusalem and offered himself as a fulfillment of the Old Testament covenant prophecy, the journey provided more lessons, many more lessons. Just because I understand Jesus coming into Jerusalem, sitting on that donkey that a man had never sat before, what was he attempting to share with us? He was attempting to give us something in order to strengthen our lives, because he knew that we at times would become melancholy and we at times would become weakened. Who would think that there were lessons to be learned from Jerusalem anyhow? And how could it be that nature itself now provides an illustration that would challenge the eager disciples? See, God's timing is always with love and expresses itself in the life of the person that needs to hear about it. You may read that about the fig tree being cursed by the Lord and may it producing no fruit and not understanding what it means, but there was nothing ever done in the Bible that did not have any real purpose or intention behind it. What it is going to take of the Bible student is for us to search and to discover exactly what that meaning was all about. So that was the challenge. The time will never arrive when any disciple will be in a state when they cannot learn some lessons from the master, though it seems that many of us in church today seem to be so self-sufficient. We don't want to come to Bible study anymore. We don't want to hear the Bible teacher talk about that. I am pleased to see that I have over almost 294,000 hits on this website that's been operative since 2002. It pleases me to know that people are coming and listening and learning to one of the most jumbled up, confusing looking websites in the history of the World Wide Web. But I pray to God that they're getting something. See, my friends, by virtue of the human makeup, we find ourselves in a state of undoneness. We have to know that. The enemy desires to discredit every effort that lends itself towards righteousness. So what Jesus does is he always gives an example for that effort towards righteousness to be judged by his godly conduct. Okay, we are prone to wander, to drift away, to tire in the work, become discouraged, and all the things like that. Well, how do we remain strong? The journey itself that many of us are on produces insightful paths, landscapes unseen by any of us, untouched by human experience. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, assurance for the soul and the stormy sea. Jesus speaks to me as the billows seek to roll. We know the song, don't we? Yes, we do. Journey ought not to be a frightful experience, rather an exciting and inviting engagement that the disciple of the Lord looks forward to. When Christ has you on your journey, whatever it may be, how excited are you? Are you excited about the journey that God has pre-chosen for your life? Are you excited for the trials, the difficulties, the pitfalls, the things that he has? You know, it's interesting. I was ending up that one class that I had this semester, and I was telling some of the students, they were wishing that I would have a happy season, Christmas season. And I, you know, wish them, you know, blessed holidays. God bless you. That's the way I talk in the classroom. I told him, I said, well, it's going to be a challenging vacation time for me because I'm not employed. And so that means my money's going to fall off. That's okay. I won't be able to do as much as I usually do, but that's okay. See, journey. My journey isn't frightful. No, it isn't. It isn't causes me. I'm excited about what he's chosen for me. The Holy Spirit of God has conquered a sense of invitation, of effort through me to others. And I like that. That's how you make it through the difficult times. You have to embrace the journey that God has put you on. Stop complaining about it. I hear complaining about me all the time. That's why sometimes I say, you know, John, you better get your behind up and get in that studio and do something for God. You want your journey to turn out to be a good journey? Start doing something for God. Stop thinking about yourself. Start thinking about other people. Start thinking about God. Your journey will change. Your outlook will change. Everything will change about you. Now let's look at the second part of that, because we were talking about all this kind of journey. Now the second part is hunger. Hunger. Those souls yearning, striving to be fulfilled. Look at verse 12b. When they departed from Bethany, he became hungry. See, Jesus uses the natural inclination in the human experience to convey an important lesson. He got hungry. Now, what else do we see here? We see that the journey causes natural circumstances to take place. As you're living out your Christian journey, as you're walking in a particular way, there's going to be some natural happenstance because you're a Christian. Don't always look for the supernatural. Hey, let's deal with the natural. Those around him also suffered from the same dilemma. Jesus got hungry. They got hungry. Don't think that because he was the savior of the world, he didn't get hungry. Remember on the cross, he said, I thirst. But see, Jesus recognized at a distance the resolve of his dilemma. He said, oh, ain't that food? See, he was looking at fig tree. Oh, isn't that food over there? Y'all hungry? I'm hungry. Isn't that a fig tree? See, there's something unique about the human's ability to translate accurately when there is an issue to be solved. In other words, association breeds resolve, and resolve makes for satisfaction. So what is the point, Pastor John, you may be asking? Well, would Jesus look to anything other than what was expected when hungry? See, he didn't make tea cakes appear out of the air. He didn't do a Benny Hinn trick. He didn't do a miracle in front of your face and multiply the fishes and loaves like he did at another time. No, he would be expected to provide fishes and loaves during the time of hunger, wouldn't he? Couldn't he, in his own particular way, find himself attempting to teach another lesson? Well, just let me share this with you. From where do you see or expect food when we fall under the pangs of hunger? Do you expect food to come out of heaven? Manna to just drop out of the sky? It's never happened to me. What are the expectations when we have identified them as solid sources? See, those are some of the things that we have to ask ourselves. Now, verse 13a talks about expectations. What you see then gets syndromes. See, what you see then gets syndromes. Let me read verse 13a. It says, and seeing at a distance a fig tree. Okay, keeping in mind, the Lord understood the environment in which he functioned. He knew that the fig tree was there. He created the fig tree. He is a creator of all life. Trees have life. He knew what to expect, and it happened. And I'm telling you that on behalf of each leaf in this particular tree, there was expected to be a fig. And that's a wonderful thing to think. Just think about it. There was expected to be a fig on each leaf of the tree. It was a fig tree, right? Now, understanding the situation, the Lord proceeds in the process. He went to see. You can see that in verse 13. If I believe something, I put forth an effort to carry out the receiving of what I expect in the first place. How do you expect to live a godly life in an ungodly world? Make sure that you're not practicing ungodliness. Make sure that you are holding fast to the faith that was once delivered into the saints. This is what I'm talking about. See, our Christianity isn't a pep talk on Sunday morning when you go there and hear some preacher bootleg you up a ladder to try to make you feel good about something and your life's been a living hell all week. There's too much of that mess going on. It's not like that. And you may not like what I'm saying. If you don't like what I'm saying when I'm quoting this, well, then you've got to go to another means of understanding what Christianity is all about. I'm not going to give you the lesser road. I'm going to try to give you the high road of Christianity. Boy, this is wonderful once you look at it. It would be out of context for the Lord to imply and not reply. All of the Christian experience when lived out in total faith is characterized by these qualities. Expectations demand action, which exceeds itself, exercises itself, that is, towards the benefits of that expectation. Did you hear that? Expectation demands action, which exercises itself towards the benefits of that expectation. In other words, he saw, he went, perhaps he would find something or anything on it. See, do you get it? Well, let's move on down to the third point in this outline, which is called dismay. Now, that's a state of a man with a letdown. Verse 13b, Jesus said, nothing but leaves. Nothing but leaves on the tree. What does a life lived without results look like? this tree looked good. It appeared to be a virtuous, valuable fig tree. It appeared to be, in every sense of the word. I want to read verse 13. Verse 13 reads like this. And seeing at a distance the fig tree in leaf, he went up to see perhaps that he would find anything on it. And when he came on it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. I like that. Nothing but leaves. Tree didn't produce anything. Now, I got to share a little bit about this because this nothing but leaves has always been, well, only the signs of what it appeared to be of no use or of any value in any way was that fig tree. Leaves full of life-giving sap, but no fruit that is bearing its true marks. That's the way the church looks today. It looks like a very healthy plant, life-giving sap, but when you look at the church, lacking in any way that you would suspect. Only the signs of what appeared to be there. But it was of no value. Full of that sap, but no fruit. After what appeared to take time and substance to establish, nothing but an outward show. That fig tree plant was nothing but an outward show, a cheap advertisement for figs. But when somebody went to the thing, there was nothing on it. Now you get my drift? That's how we can encourage the church to live strong, healthy lives and to let them know that they cannot be caught up into this fruitless endeavor. Now, the conclusion is found in verse 14, because what happened to them, the bottom line was they all became bewildered because the tree had no fruit. That's the bottom line. And when people become bewildered here in this modern era of Christianity, they want the preacher to do it for them. But he answered and said to it, "May no one ever eat from you again." And his disciples were listening. Now, this is very interesting that Jesus comes to the tree and basically he puts a curse on the tree. That's what he does. So we cannot help but see the greater implication of these few verses. Jesus never speaks without providing object lessons for his disciples. Therefore, let us investigate the greater implication of each of these segments. Our journey, okay? Let's talk about this. Our journey, claiming the new birth and the walk with Christ, demands a certain principle. Number two, for me, it's looking at those things that I willingly fail him in. And strange as that may seem, it's true. I scramble into temptation, said the wrong things when I did the wrong deeds. That is what Jesus calls nothing but leaves. So what does he do with me? Well, he does what he does with every leaf producer. He puts in that man or woman the Spirit of God and gives him the encouragement to say something like I've said on that webcast. And so that we can have some glorious Christian experience amongst one another and die just terrible with each other. So I thank God. I thank God for building up everything that he's done in us.